Samanta chakkhavalesu atra gacchantu devata sadhammang munirajasa sunantu sagamokkhadang dhamma savanakalo ayang badanda dhamma savanakalo ayang badanda Dhamma savana kalo ayang badanda. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Okay, today I hope to finish this Satipatthana Sutta, Foundation of Mindfulness. And Buddha say, we have to be mindful, establish our mindfulness on body, feeling, various states of mind and the Dhamma. After that, under each contemplation on body, contemplation on feeling, contemplation on mind, and contemplation on Dhamma, Buddha say the same thing, same verses. What Buddha say? Buddha say, Iti ejata wa kaye kayasming viharati. Bahida wa kaye kayasming viharati. Ejata bahida wa kaye kayasming viharati. Samudaya dhamma nupasiva kayasming viharati. Vaya dhamma nupasiva kayasming viharati. Samudaya vaya dhamma nupasiva kayasming viharati. Atthi kayoti wa panasa pacupatita hoti yava deva jnanamattaya patisatimattaya anisito cha viharatihi naccha kinci loke upadiyati evaṃ bhikkhave bhikkhu kaye kayasmin viharati. What does it mean? Okay, first Buddha say, Iti ejatava kaye kayasming viharati. He dwells contemplating the body internally. What do you understand the body? Four elements, right? So he dwells, a practitioner, a bhikkhu, dwells contemplating four element, body. Not only four element, if he practice 32 parts, then he contemplate 32 parts. If he practice Anapanasati, then he contemplate Anapanasati. If he practices for posture, walking, sitting, lying down and standing as Namarupa, not a self, then he dwells this four posture internally. Okay, this is what Buddha say. Then iti ejatava kaye kayesmin viharati bahidava. Bahida means external. He dwells contemplating body externally. Externally means other people's body, other people's 32 parts, other people's four elements, other people's bodily posture, and in-breath and out-breath, or so on. So a question comes, why should a practicing monk, a yogi, contemplate externally? Let's say we contemplate internally four element. Why is not enough? Why should we contemplate four element? For example, four element, externally. For what reason? Use your mind to think. How to stop the lust? Yes, correct. But how to stop the lust?
You should also know that the other person also knows self.
Very good. Yes. So you practice, when you see the four elements, it's not a self, not enough. Because we have a great deal of attachment to our parents, our spouse, our son and daughter, our family members, right? Do you have attachment to your family members? Yes. If you have attachment, to attain Nibbana is not possible. So in order to eradicate whatsoever attachment, you've got to contemplate internally yourself as four element. Four element as example only. Then externally people, whether your spouse, your son and daughter, your friends, your teacher, your parents are also composed of four elements. Only then you can eradicate attachment to them, because now you see them as four elements. Which part you attach to? His earth element? His wind element? His water element? So if you contemplate in this way, your craving and attachment to the other party, to external beings, object, will be eradicated. Nowadays, a practitioner seldom contemplate externally. They only contemplate internally, which is not comprehensive enough. You may not have attachment to yourself, but you have attachment to your lover, to your son and daughter, right? Therefore, you have to contemplate externally as well, according to what Buddha said in Satipatthana Sutta. Then, Buddha said again, ejada bahidawa kaye kayasmin viharati. So first he contemplate internally, externally, then again and again he contemplate internally, externally, again and again. First he contemplate internally for a long time, then after that, externally for a long time. After that, alternately, internally, externally, internally, externally, as body, kaya as kaya, not a person, not a self. Okay? Understand? Yes. Okay. Then, next, Buddha said, samudaya vaya, samudaya dhamma nupasiva kayasming viharati. Samudaya means arising factor. Samudaya dhamma nupasiva kayasming viharati. He dwelt contemplating the arising factor of the body. This arising factor consists of two important points. First is arising itself. Then the factor that causes it to arise. So there are two things. One is arising itself. Let's say you contemplate four elements, earth element. Then you see the earth element. Sorry, when you pay attention to the body, then you see earth element arises. So you contemplate arising, right? Not enough. You must also contemplate the factor that caused the earth element or the four element to arise. See the difference? Yes or no? Okay. So first you must contemplate arising. Okay, you see mindfulness, now it arises. But not enough. You also must know the cause for it to arise. If you do not contemplate the cause, the causes for it to arise, you may think this element is created by God, right? Or created by somebody, or created by yourself. Or this element has no causes, which all are wrong view. As the true teaching, Buddha's disciple, we understand everything is produced by causes. So when you contemplate four elements internally, and you contemplate their arising, you also must contemplate, investigate the causes for them to arise. Only then you can understand causality, cause and effect. If not, you entertain the four elements is created by God, by someone, by myself. by other people, by my parents, which are all wrong view. Okay, what are the causes that cause four elements to arise? Huh? What are the causes?
Craving.
Okay, one is, okay, there are four causes. There are four causes. Number one is karma rooted in craving. Karma rooted in craving caused the four elements to arise. This is very clear when you first, your mother give birth to you. Then the four element arises. That four element arises although because of the intercourse mother and parent, but the main cause is because of the karmic energy done in the past that rooted in craving that caused the new being to come. And this new being is composed of four elements and a mind element. Now we are talking body first. So karma is one of the reasons. The second reason?
Mind.
Yes, mind. Mind also can cause four elements to arise. For example, now you try to get angry. Try to think of something that makes you angry. Immediately you feel the body become hot, right? When the body become hot, then the heart beat fast. The more anger you have, the heart beat even faster, then your body shake. Before that, the fire element is not strong. The wind element is not strong. Only when you get angry the time, the anger might produce the four elements in the body, then your body heat up. And the heart beat very fast. So this is clearly show that the four elements are produced by your mental states. This one is very easy to understand. Whenever you get annoyed your mind, then the four elements, the body, physical condition change. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes you are so quiet, I don't know. I don't know whether you are with me or not. Okay. What is the third reason? Yes. Nutritive action. For example, now, every day we eat spicy food. The body is so hot. The body is heat up every day because of the food we take. So the food can affect our four elements in the body. The last reason?
Temperature.
Yes, temperature. When it's raining, everybody wear a lot of short, thick clothes, ropes and so on. But when weather is hot, then the body heat up, then you don't want to wear so many layers of ropes. So the temperature, external temperature also affect the four elements in the body. This is very easy to understand. So if you can analyze, investigate in this way, then you understand the four elements are produced by causes, not without causes. If without causes, it's called wrong view. So then you understand the causes, then you have the right view. Four elements not produced by God, not produced by self, not produced by a person, but is produced by respective causes, by karma, by mind, by nutriment, and by temperature. These four reasons. Okay. So samudaya dhamma nupasiva kayasmin viharati. He discerns, he contemplates arising and its factor for its arising. Later on, vaya dhamma nupasiva kayasmin viharati. He contemplates vanishing factor in the body. So this also two points. First, he contemplates vanishing, cessation, passing away of this four element. Later on, he also contemplates the cessation of the factors. For example, just now I say, when you get angry, the anger might produce fire, strong fire element and wind element in the body. Now, the anger ceases. the body will not shake anymore. Huh? The fire element also cool down, and the wind element also become slow down. So you see the cessation of that strong wind element, you also see the cessation of that strong fire element. When you see, when the mental state of anger subsides, then the strong wind element and fire element also come to cessation. So you see the cessation, also you see the cause, the cessation of the causes. Is it clear or not?
Yes.
Okay. So this is called Vaya Dhamma Nupasiva Kayasmin Viharati. Then later on Buddha said, Samudaya Vaya Dhamma Nupasiva Kayasmin Viharati. He dwell contemplating both arising factor and vanishing factor. Only see arising, as I said yesterday, only sees arising, not see vanishing, then you entertain the idea of eternalism, right? Only see vanishing, never see arising, you entertain the idea of annihilation. Only sees that, never arise. This is called duan mie, chang jian gen zhege duan mie jian. Therefore, you must see both arising and vanishing, arising and vanishing. This is called impermanent, right? So, vaya dhamma, samudaya vaya dhamma nupasiva kayasmin viharati. He dwells contemplating both arising and vanishing factors of the body, kaya. Okay. Then, the last sentence. Very important sentence. Ati kayoti wa pacu patita hoti. Yawa dewa yana mataya patisati mataya. Okay. The mindfulness is established on the body. The body exists. Ati kayoti wa. The body exists. To what extent? The mindfulness established on the body and known. The mindfulness knows that body exists. You must establish your mindfulness on the body and know the body exists to what extent? Okay, what do you think? To what extent?
That is impermanent.
Yes, good. Some more? Impermanent already. We already mentioned previously. Now, next step. So Buddha gave the answer. He didn't give directly the answer. It takes many years to understand what Buddha meant. So you don't think sutta is easy to understand. Sutta is all practical experience. Once you have practical experience, you read the sutta, it's so easy to understand. Once you don't have practical experience, sutta is not easy to understand. Okay, so Buddha said, Ati kayo diwa. Ati kayo diwa. Kayo means body. Body exists. Ati kayo diwa. Pacu patita hoti. Yawa dewa. To extend. Yawa dewa. Nyana mataya. To the extent for knowledge to arise. To the extent for knowledge and higher mindfulness. Pati sati. Sati is mindfulness. Pati sati, higher mindfulness. So the mindfulness established on the body, that body exists to the extent for knowledge, to the extent for insight, and for better, higher, firm mindfulness. What insight? For what insight? Insight to know body is just body. Body is not a self. It's not a being. It's not I, not he or she. So your mindfulness established on the body, that body exists to the extent that the knowledge knows Body is just body, not a person, not a being, not a self. It takes me many years to understand this sentence, just one sentence. Without practical experience, I just cannot understand. With practical experience, it's so easy. So come to practical experience. Let's say you keep your mindfulness on the body. Then you see, hardness here. Then you contemplate hardness. Then hot here. You contemplate earth, fire element. Then you feel stiffness. You contemplate earth element. Again, you contemplate four element in the body. Then you see the four element again and again, again and again. Then your mindfulness knows, yes, four element exists. One time, not enough. You must contemplate the mindfulness established on the four elements to the extent your knowledge, your insight arise to see just element, not a person, not a self, not a being. Must to that extent. Clear? Clear or not?
Clear.
Yes. So it takes a long time. Not only one sitting, no. Anupasana. Anupasana, repeatedly seeing four elements again and again, 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 to the extent you only see four elements, not a person, not a being. That's what Buddha meant. And when you see four elements is not self, not a being means not self. When you see not self, you also understand what? Dukkha, suffering. When you see not self, you also understand suffering. Why I say so? In the discourse on Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, when Buddha first gained enlightenment, then he preached to the five bhikkhus, right? What is his first sermon? This is so famous, you should know. Dhamma Chakka Pavattana Sutta. The first sermon after Buddha's enlightenment preached to the five monks is called Dhamma Chakka Pavattana Sutta. Turning the wheel of the Dhamma. Turning the wheel of the Dhamma. This is very important. When Buddha first turning the wheel of the Dhamma, all the devas, so many devas attained enlightenment. So when Buddha preached this sutta to five monks, only Kondanya attained Sotapanna, not Arahant yet. Kondanya attained Sotapanna. Five monks, only one attained Sotapanna. Then after a few days, Buddha preached again, second discourse. What is second discourse? Second discourse is Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. The discourse on non-self characteristic. It's now I'm trying to tell you. In this non-self characteristic discourse, Buddha said, Kaya Rupa. Rupa is not self. If Rupa, if Kaya, if body were a self, the body were not subject to affliction. And because body is not self, body is subjected to affliction. This means that body is not self, means anatta, non-self. Because it's non-self, therefore it is suffering, it's subject to affliction. Why? Because you cannot control. Body is not self, you cannot control it. When you fall sick, then it just falls sick. When you get the certain sickness, certain disease, then you just get it. You cannot say, I don't want this diabetes. I don't want this lung cancer. I don't want this tumor in my body. You can't. Right? You can't. You can't control it. Since you can't control it, how can you say it's happiness to you? You cannot say anything that cannot be controlled by a self is suffering. It's not happy things. Therefore, Buddha in this Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the discourse on non-self characteristic, Buddha said, Rupa, body is not self. Because it's not self, it's subjected to affliction, subjected to disease. Then come back to our sutta, Buddha said, the mindfulness established on the body knows the body exists to the extent for knowledge to arise, to the extent for knowledge. That knowledge understands body as body, body is not a self. And also by understanding not self, he also understands suffering. And you may ask, well, how about impermanence? Impermanent, previously we have said it already, arising factor, vanishing factor. So this person already contemplate impermanent already. This yogi already contemplated impermanent. Later on, he still contemplate body, body exists to the extent he know body is body, not a self. And when he knows non-self, he also knows suffering, dukkha. So when this yogi, he contemplate impermanent of the body for element, then his craving for the body start to what?
Diminish.
Yes, diminish. Before that, you think both body is permanent. So your craving to the body become intensified. So now you keep on seeing the body, then you see the arising and vanishing factor, then your craving for the body start to loosen. And when you see the body, it's just a body, not a person, not a self, then your perception of self also removed, right? And when you see there's no happiness of this body, then your perception of happiness towards the body become less and less. Therefore, by understanding the body, body is only one example, same as feeling, same as mind, same as Dhamma, right? By understanding all this body, feeling, mind, and Dhamma are impermanent, suffering, and non-self, then your craving for them, your wrong view towards them are diminished. But not forever. From moment to moment. From moment to moment. Okay, are you with me?
Yes.
Should I continue?
Yes.
Okay. So when you come to this stage, when your meditation come to this stage, Buddha say, Anisito cha viharati. He dwells independent. Anisito cha viharati na cha kinji loke upadiyati. He dwells independent without clinging to the world. What's this word? Loka. Na cha kinji loke upadiyati. Without clinging to the world. When we say loka in the Buddha's teaching, this loka means the world of five aggregates. What is the five aggregate again? Form, feeling, perception, formations, consciousness. And this five make up a self. Self is conventional truth. What actually exists is this five. Please remember, okay? So when he sees anicca, dukkha, anatta, then he does not cling to the body, feeling, mind, mental state or Dhamma as mind. When we cling to this four as mind, it means craving, right? Craving. But when he repeatedly sees impermanent, then he will not cling to this body, feeling, mental state and Dhamma as mind. Mine. Then he does not cling to this four, body, feeling, mental state and Dhamma as myself, which is wrong view, myself. Therefore, Buddha said, he dwells independently without clinging to these five aggregate or to this body, feeling, mind and Dhamma. Body, feeling, mental state and Dhamma, all these are under five aggregate as well, right? So he no more cling to them as mine, M-I-N-E, and myself. Therefore, Buddha said he dwells independently without clinging to the world, to the five aggregates as mine and myself. Okay? No answer. Okay, it's clear? Okay. So, I got to stop fast, because last part, Buddha said, if you can practice in this way, you can practice in this way 7 years. 7 years, Buddha said, Buddha give you guarantee, insurance. 7 years, you can become either either anagami or arahan. Then Buddha said, let alone 7 years, 5 years. You can become anagami or arahan. Then Buddha further said, let alone 5 years, 3 years. Let alone 3 years, 1 year, 1 year. Let alone 1 year, 3 months. Let alone 3 months. 10 weeks, let alone 10 weeks, 7 days. Today is 7 days, is it? I think today is 6 days. Oh, tomorrow is 7 days. So tomorrow, one of you can become either anagami or arahant. So 7 days, he say, you can become anagami and arahant. If you practice in this way, according to four foundations of mindfulness. However, however, in the beginning, I do not tell you the four important points, four prerequisites for success in your practice. There are four. You must have these four. Only you can attain within 7 days to 7 years. If you cannot attain within 7 days to 7 years, it means that you do not fulfill these four prerequisites for progress. First one, attapi. Attapi. What is attapi? Attapi means strong effort, continuous effort, diligent, vigilant. And this type of effort continuous without a gap in between. Means you continuously put effort to be mindful at all times without a gap. But we are not like that. After meal, we go take photo here and there. How can our effort continuous? No, not possible. Therefore, tomorrow, I don't think Bill can become anagami or arahant because first prerequisite is not fulfilled, right? We check ourselves, we know. One day, I don't know how many times go and take photo, take this and that. Okay, so first atapi, diligent, continuous effort. That effort can burn away defilement. If this effort is not fulfilled, then to attain anagami and arahan within 7 days or 7 years is not possible. Okay? So no one to be blamed because we ourselves do not put enough effort. Right? Second is atapi satima, atapi sampajana. Sampajana. Sampajana means clear comprehension. What do you understand clear comprehension? Sampajana. There are four clear comprehension. Four. Please write down, very important for you. This retreat, I give you the most information. Other retreat, I don't go so deep one. Simply because you wear a robe. I respect your robe. Therefore, I give you very profound teaching. Okay, first, clear comprehension of beneficial. Beneficial. Sapaya sampajana. Sapaya sampajana. Clear comprehension of beneficial. So, sampajanya. Sapaya, Sapaya. Sapaya. Sampajanya. Sapaya. Sapaya. Sampajanya. Sampajana. When you go back, you read the four foundations of mindfulness in Majjhima Nikaya Sutta number 10. So you see, as a speaker, not easy. You have to, everything have to memorize. Learn my heart. So content, clear comprehension of beneficial. So whatever you do, especially when you are in a retreat, whatever you do, you must think, is it beneficial or not? For example, talking. Is it beneficial to talk or not? You must have this type of clear comprehension. For example, during the retreat, gossip. Think of, talk of future plan, talk of past event. This is called not beneficial because it makes your mind distracted. So you must have this clear comprehension. Whatever you do, you say, you think, is it beneficial for your practice or not? You must think of it. Okay, second, clear comprehension of suitability. Suitability, suitable. Sometimes, let's say, we giving a discussion with Dharma is beneficial, right? Beneficial, but may not suitable at this moment. Some discussion of the Dharma not connected with the practice. Out of the practice, then keep on discussing until your mind get very distracted. So discussion of Dharma is beneficial, but not suitable at this moment. Therefore, you must think of whether it's beneficial and also suitable. It's called clear comprehension, one type of wisdom you must have. And in a commentary, what is not suitable? For example, go visiting pagoda is beneficial. It arouses your faith to the Buddha, right? But during big festival, when there are so many people going to visit pagoda, and as a monk and nun, we also join them, then your body also touch the woman here and there, or the nun's body touch the man here and there, then arouse your lust, your desire. Therefore, visit the pagoda is beneficial, but not suitable when there's big ceremony. And your mind get distracted as well. Therefore, whatever you do, you think, you say, we must have this insight or this wisdom, clear comprehension of beneficial or suitability. Okay, number third, clear comprehension of domain. Gochara sampajana. Gochara. Go, G-O-C-A-R-A. Gochara sampajana. Sampajana, S-A-M, sampa, P-A. J-A-N-A, sampajana. Clear comprehension of domain, what it means. Clear comprehension of domain means, what's your domain? Buddha said, what is layperson's domain? What is monk's domain? Domain means pasture, where you often go to. So what's layperson's domain? Sensual pleasures. Sensual pleasures is layperson's domain. He always dwell in sensual pleasures. Now you have become monk, become nun. What's your domain?
Liberation.
What's your domain? Liberation not yet arrived, not yet achieved.
Renunciation.
Buddha said very clearly in the sutta, a bhikkhu's domain is four foundation of mindfulness. It's your domain. Now you are monks. So your domain is always contemplate on body, feeling, mental state, and Dhamma. If your mind is not dwell on this four, the mind will go into restlessness. Your mind will go into enjoyment when you are a layperson and so on. Therefore, because the four foundation of mindfulness is a monk's domain. And what is gochara sampajana? Clear comprehension of domain. It means that your mind keep on all the time is focused on this four foundation of mindfulness at all time. It's called clear comprehension of domain. We cannot do it, right? We are not successful. Our mind only once a while. Especially only during walking, sitting, our mind is on this four foundation of mindfulness. Other time, usually the mind is not on this four foundation of mindfulness. So how can become anagami within 7 days? How can become arahant within 7 years? Because this prerequisite is not fulfilled, right? Okay, the last one. Asammoha sampajana. Asammoha. A-S-A-M. A-S-A-M-O-H-A. Asammoha. Moha means delusion. Asammoha means non-delusion. Clear comprehension on non-delusion. Another word, wisdom. Clear comprehension on non-delusion means that the mind constantly contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta. Constantly draw on anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanent suffering, non-self of body, feeling, mental state, and mind, and dhamma. So these are the four clear comprehension. Okay, you repeat for me, first one. Clear comprehension of second. Third. Yes, fourth.
Clear comprehension of non-delusion.
Okay, everybody remember, okay. So they are the second prerequisite. The third one, satima. Satima means mindfulness. Always remember, always mindful. Satima. And the fourth prerequisite, putting aside, vinaya. Putting aside greed and distress. Or putting aside greed or anger. When you come to practice, you got to prepare your mind. Putting aside the anger. The anger you have, maybe to your friends, to your colleague, to your business partner, to your family members, and so on. Or putting aside the distress that you have because of your sickness or the misery that happened in your family and so on. You've got to put aside first. And put aside the greed towards food, towards your property, the money, and toward the companionship. You don't want to be alone. You want a companion. So putting aside the greed and the hatred. These are the four prerequisites. If you fulfill these four prerequisites, what are the four? Let us repeat again, first one. Atapi. A-T-A-P-I. Please say atapi.
Atapi.
First prerequisite, atapi. Second? Clear comprehension. There are four. What are the four? I think the nun's memory is better than the monk. Okay, the third one? Okay, Satima, mindfulness. Number four.
Putting aside greed and distress.
Okay, putting aside all the greed and distress or anger. Don't keep it in the mind. If you keep it in the mind, when you come to practice, how you can concentrate? Your mind keep on thinking, oh, my difficulty in life, my suffering in life, my misery in life. Or the mind keep on thinking, people are not treated me well. Keep on thinking all this that cause greed and anger, then your mind cannot settle down on the present moment. You have to put aside first. So if you fulfill, this is called prerequisite mentioned in the sutta. Atapi sambhajana satima vinaya logya abhija domanasang. These are four prerequisites. So if you have fulfilled these four and you practice according to four foundations of mindfulness, then within 7 days to 7 years, you will sure to become anagami and arahant. This is the insurance guarantee given by the Buddha. So if we cannot become a noble one within 7 days, then we check this prerequisite, whether we fulfill all these four prerequisites or not. Okay, this is the end of my talk. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now open for question. Take a rest first. I need to rest my throat.